Greater love has no man that he would lay down his life for his friends. That is love. And God laid down his life for you and for me. And that says, I love you. So if you've ever not felt loved, there is somebody that loves you. And his name is Jesus. Now, for a guy, that may sound weird. You get over it. All right? I mean, imagine yourself, a big burly guy sitting on an airplane, somebody asking you, who's the love of your life? And you say, this man named Jesus. You know, you're going to get some looks. But you can just tell them. But you got to understand, you don't know the Jesus I know. And if you knew him the way I knew him, you'd love him. And I have never been ashamed to say I love Jesus. This year has been quite a year, 2017. Today's the last day. Is that right? Today's the last day? Today's the last day of 2017. There will never be another 2017. You're in it for the last time today. It's been quite a year. We've had Hurricane Harvey. Some of y'all are still dealing with Hurricane Harvey. By the way, the title of this sermon is The Year in Review, all right? I'm going to talk about the year in review. Hurricane Harvey. Some of you experienced the death of a loved one this year. Some of us experienced the birth of a brand new one this year. Some overcame cancer. Woo! Yeah. Others did not. Or to some other disease. We had the world champion Astros for the first time. J.J. Watt got hurt. Warren, Martin Truex Jr. won the NASCAR championship. We finally got AC installed and heat out in the gym. We've had new members join this church. We've had others go elsewhere. And I think we've had some just quit altogether. We had a fantastic revival. We had opportunities to minister to this community that we've never had before. Much thanks to Hurricane Harvey. See? Bad thing. But God can take it and use it and do something great with it. Some have changed jobs. Others are still in the job they've had for years. There were many things we experienced for the first time this year. And there were many things that are just a continual experience, right? Tomorrow we'll start another year. 2018. It's going to take me 6 months to get used to writing 2018. A brand new year. But in reality, and I told our little prayer group this morning, in reality, it's the day after today. Tomorrow is tomorrow. Regardless of what year it's called or whatever, it's just the day after today. So why do we need to look back at the year? Why do we need to look back at 2017? Shouldn't we focus on the future? Should we forget about 2017 and focus on 2018? Well, we definitely should focus on the future and plan ahead and all those good things. But at the same time, it's important to remember where we've been. All throughout Israel's history, they were called to remember the past. To mark some things as a memorial, don't forget what happened here. They even set up monuments and stones and altars on occasion to remember some things. They even changed the names of some places to mark an event that happened there. Somehow God provided or did something and they would name it a new name. A turning point. A celebration of a victory. A marker of a mistakes made so that they're not repeated. And the same is true for us. We need to remember the past as we look to the future. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 4. All right? The fifth book in the Bible. Sixth book of the Bible. Excuse me. My math got messed up. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Joshua chapter 4. And I'm going to ask you, if you're able, when you find it, if you would stand for the reading of God's Word. It's going to be lengthy because I'm going to read this entire chapter. Joshua chapter 4, beginning of verse 1. The whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan. The Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men that he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribe of Israel, to serve as a sign among you in the future when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. Now the priest who carried the Ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses had directed Joshua. The people hurried over, and as soon as all of them had crossed, the Ark of the Lord and the priests came to the other side while the people watched. The men of Reuben, Gad, and the other half tribe of Manasseh crossed over, ready for battle in front of the Israelites, as Moses had directed them. About 40,000 armed for battle crossed over before the Lord to the plains of Jericho for war. That day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him all the days of his life, just as they had stood in awe of Moses. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Command the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant to come up out of the Jordan." So Joshua commanded the priests, "Come up out of the Jordan." And the priests came up out of the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan and said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us when we crossed over. He did all this so the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful and that you might always fear the Lord your God.'" Thank you. You may be seated. May God bless the reading of his word. That event took place as Joshua led the Israelites into the promised land. After 40 years in the desert, after the escape from Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, they were disobedient, they were doubtful, and so they wandered in the desert for 40 years. Matter of fact, Scripture tells us that none of that generation was still alive when they crossed over to go into the promised land. God was starting fresh with the same people group, but he was starting fresh. He was giving them a fresh start. And sometimes the new year can be a fresh start for us. I don't like New Year's resolutions. I used to make them, but then I just quit. Because I felt better not making one and didn't have anything to try to keep than making one and breaking it, 3 weeks or 3 days later. I'm not going to eat chocolate this year. I've never made that New Year's resolution, by the way. I will never make that New Year's resolution. So I don't like New Year's resolutions. They don't have anything of substance to hold me. But a commitment to the Lord is different. If you want to talk about life change, folks, a resolution ain't going to cut it. But if you'll come to the Lord and say, God, I want to be different. I want difference in my life this next year. I want to be different. I want to do different things. I want to focus on I want something real and lasting and different this year. The God will provide that for you, I guarantee it. But it takes obedience on our part. It does. It does. The Israelites, they were called to remember where the Lord had brought them from. And it was a memorial to last forever. Maybe this year held some things that you just don't want to remember. Possibly. Some of us had some bad experiences and we think they're just better left forgotten. However, we have a scripture. They call them to remember some of those things that they would like to have forgotten too. Deuteronomy chapter 9 talks about that time in the desert, that 40-year period. Moses writes, But Moses did have a stutter, right? Remember this and never forget how you aroused the anger of the Lord your God in the wilderness. From the day you left Egypt until you arrived here, you have been rebellious against the Lord. At Horeb, you aroused the Lord's wrath so that he was angry enough to destroy you. That is something that I would not want to remember. But God says, remember it and don't you forget it. Don't forget how you made me mad enough that I was just ready to kill you. Don't forget it. Why would God want them to remember that their ancestors had made God mad? They had been so disobedient. Why would God want them to remember that? So they don't forget. So they don't do it again. That's right. We need to remember the good things, and that's fun. To remember the good things. How many of you have good things to remember from 2017? Yeah, good things to remember. And that's fun. We want to remember those things. Maybe you're a journaler and you wrote it down. Maybe you got pictures. Go back to your Instagram or Flashbook and the Facebook and Snap. Well, you can't go back on Snap stuff, right? Go back and look at your photos of the year. For you older folks, pull out the photo album off the shelf, right? And flip through and look at the pictures of last year. It's good to remember those things. But we also need to remember the bad because often we made mistakes. And we need to remember to avoid making the same mistakes. We need to remember how the Lord has done a good work. We need to remember some of those things, how God, we've seen God move and how he took maybe a mistake that I made, or maybe just an unfortunate circumstance, or we say unfortunate, maybe God orchestrated that circumstance to get our attention, to get us to where he wanted us to be. And it worked. And that's worth remembering. We need to even remember things like the death of a loved one. For many reasons. One would be to honor their lives. Another would be to remind us of the frailty of life and that we're never guaranteed tomorrow. And still another would be to allow God to hold to his promise that said he would work all things together for the good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. You see, to remember some of those things that were not so good and look forward with anticipation. How is God going to take that and work that together for my good? Because I love God and I'm willing to be used for his purposes. You see, there's the caveat. A lot of times we say, we love to say the part, well, God works all things together for good. Well, yeah, but for a specific group of people. For those that love God and are called according to his purpose. You see, if you want to quote that verse and want that verse to be true in your life, you got to love the Lord and you got to be called according to his purposes. I mean, that's, I mean, it's kind of one of those if-then promises, right? Most of God's promises are conditional. Not all of them, but most of them are conditional. If you will, then I will. If you will love me and live your life according to my purpose for you, then I'll work all things together for your good. You see, that's how that verse works. There's a man named Edmund Burke. I didn't know this man, not personally. He was born in 1729, died in 1797. And he's famous for this quote that he said. It says this: "Those who don't know history are destined to repeat it." He was a British statesman and philosopher. He's generally viewed as the philosophical founder of modern political conservatism. And that is why, students, we study history. We study history so that we don't find ourselves suffering the same mistakes. At least that's the hope. Not that we make mistakes, but that we learn from those mistakes, either ours or somebody else's. But let's not repeat those same mistakes. Let's not be in the habit of messing up. Yes, 2017 is a year to remember. However, tomorrow is 2018 and we still have life in us, right? I mean, you're here. I assume you're all still breathing. Check your neighbor. Are they breathing? Okay, there's still life in you. 2018, should the Lord give us one more day, 2018 will be here tomorrow. And we're going to be in it. So we must trot ahead into another year of accomplishments and mistakes, another year of profits and losses, another year of bliss, and with that often comes sorrow. To some, the future looks bleak, and to the other group, it looks bright. I don't know what the future holds for you, but I do know that you don't get to experience 2018 without going through 2017. Unless you're born after today, and that would be weird, me talking to you today and you not even being born yet, right? So you got to go through. We don't. Those of us that are here right now, we don't get to 2018 without going through 2017. And all that 2017 brought. So we must forge ahead into 2018, but we take 2017 with us. We build upon this last year, taking the good and advancing it, remembering the not so good and seeing just what God can do with that, remembering the mistakes in an effort to keep from repeating them, and remember that life in 2018 is a gift. Let's do all we can with what we have, with all that we've been given. And we'll ask the Lord to help us accomplish what we cannot do in our own strength for His purposes. You see, sometimes I believe when we pray, we ask God to do stuff. Sometimes I just, this is not scriptural. I'm just going to give you an insight into how my mind works sometimes, okay? It's a little snapshot into my head. Sometimes I think God's up there going, "You want me to do what? You want me to do what? That's why I gave you abilities. That's why I gave you the intelligence I gave you. That's why I gave you the talents that I gave you. Do a little bit of your own." Not that God is only saying hands off, saying I'm not helping. I don't think that when we pray and ask God to do what we can do, I think He just goes, "They just don't get it yet. They need to be asking me to do the things they can't do. And trust that I've given them the abilities and talents and skills to do some things on their own." Doesn't mean we need to forge into everything on our own, because we need to recognize there are some things that I can't do on my own, but with God's strength, The same strength that created the world, that spoke the world into being, right? That strength is alive within us because Jesus sent His Spirit, right? Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. We can do some things. And there are some things that God wants us to do, knowing we can't do it on our own, but we trust in Him, and together something great can happen. So let's go on into 2018. Doing all that we can, trusting God to help us where we can't, but all for His glory. Now, we pray for some things. Maybe you prayed I know that Haskell prayed for the Astros to win. And they did. But I know somewhere somebody was praying for the other team. I told Haskell when he prayed that prayer, one of y'all is going to get your prayer answered because one team is going to win. Right? When we pray, when we ask the Lord, help me to do all that You called me to do, whether it's in my strength that You've given me or it's in Your strength that You're going to help me, and let's go for it. Because I want to be on Your page. I want to be on Your plan. If we're asking God, God, this has nothing to do with Your plan, but I really want this thing to happen. You know, sometimes I wonder just what God's thinking when we pray that prayer. Help me catch the great biggest fish. I think God says, well, that's why I gave you the skill I gave you. You go catch it. And thank me for the skill I gave you. But if we say, God, help me to reach my community for Jesus Christ. God says, I'm sure God says this. Let's go. Let's go get them. Let's go out. Let's live a life that shows people my strength and my glory. Let's live a life that draws people to me for salvation. You see, I can't even do that in my own strength, folks. I can't do it. So let's go into 2018 doing all that we can, trusting God to do all that we can't, and together it's going to be a great year. It's going to be a great year. Should He tarry His coming? And remember, we're never guaranteed tomorrow. 2018 just might never show up. As we close and we leave this place today, I want to challenge you not to make a resolution, but to make a commitment. To make a life change commitment. To make a commitment to say, Lord, this year is going to be different than last year in this. I'm going to live my life for You better than I did last year. This next year, I'm going to get back in the Word. I'm going to go down to Lifeway and I'm going to pick up one of those Bibles in a year and I'm going to follow it and I'm going to read through the Scripture from cover to cover. I'm going to download one of those plans from someplace on the internet. Just type in Google Bible reading plan and there's a ton of them. And I'm going to follow that plan and I'm going to read through Your Word. This year, God, I'm going to step into a new place of ministry. I'm going to ask the pastor if there's a place that I can teach Sunday school. This year, I'm going to ask the pastor, because I really got this thing on my mind. I want to do something. The ladies have this thing, and they do all this stuff all the time. And sometimes we need to get the guys together. We just need to go out and take some shotguns and shoot some skeet. And I just want to make all that happen. Would You help me do that, God? Amen. Amen. God, I've never given my testimony before, but You did a work in me, and I think somebody might benefit from hearing that. Would You give me the strength? This year is not like this last year. This new year is not like last year. There's circumstances, events, and things that will not happen again. I pray Hurricane Harvey does not come back in 2018. But if it does, God's going to do it, and He's going to work a thing. And I'm going to allow Him to do everything within me to be used by Him. As we close and we leave this place today, would you stand with me? And here in just a moment, the house is going to lead us in a song, a time of response. The altar is going to be open. I'll be standing here in the front. Rebecca will join me. We'll stand here in the front. If you would like prayer, we would love to pray with you. The altar is going to be open. You can come to the altar. But let me encourage you this year, make a commitment to the Lord, not a resolution, but a commitment to the Lord. Lord, this has been on my heart. You put this on my mind, and I want to follow through. Help me to follow through for your glory. And as we leave this place today, I want to ask a blessing upon you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. That's my prayer for you for this next year. And if you want peace, you will find it when you get in the middle of God's will, I guarantee it. Father, you've heard our prayer. Father, do a work in us. Change us, modify us, edit our lives. Father, help us to live a life that honors you in everything, in every aspect, the way we talk, the way we walk, the places we hang out, the things that we do, the places we go to on the internet, the things we look at on our phone, the conversations we have. Father, help us to honor you with every part of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.